Welcome back. Football Monday, the Bills over the Ravens, and it's on to Kansas City. I think they probably don't need directions.
This is getting like a 5-year hockey playoff series we've got going here. Everybody knows the way into the building. They know where the rooms are. They know where all the, you know, McDermott's big on process, right? Like the blue and white scrimmage in August, like for rookies. You know, if they want to come in and brush their teeth before the game, I want them to know where to go and what to do and all that stuff. I want them to be ready for that. It's basically Kansas City at this point. You know the route. You know everything about it.
The Chiefs have surpassed the division rivals, you know, like this is, it's almost been twice a year. This year it will have been. It's often been, it's what, 4 out of 5 years? It's the playoffs, just the one Bengal year. And it's really incredible, like historic for these two teams. It's time for the Bills to beat them. Eric Wood joins us now on the West Her Hotline. Eric, how are you? Some night.
It was a night. That was a great one. It was a fun one. As much energy as I've seen in that stadium, I feel like I'm constantly saying that. But you know, just an incredible atmosphere. It looked like Buffalo with some snow on the field, some snow coming down. It was freezing, and they got it done. It was a fun one.
And you had Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is kind of like a tiebreaker when it comes to, like you're saying, how you're always saying the vibes are great.
Right.
He's kind of a pretty good tiebreaker there. When it's all else equal, you have Fitz out there with his shirt off.
Exactly. Yeah, he definitely got him going. He lived up. He gave him what they wanted. I talked to him pregame, and he's like, I mean, at this point, I have to do it. So we'll rip the shirt off and have some fun with it. He had his boys at the game. He had his dad there in town. So it was great catching up with all of them, and I know he had a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll see him in Kansas City this week. It's amazing. You know, he's played for 9 different teams, but his love for the Bills is real. You know, he's not going back to Jets games, and, you know, he'll talk favorably of, you know, teammates or coaches or whatever, but obviously his heart's in Buffalo.
And that's got, like, I know it's you guys, like you, Fred Jackson, like certain teammates. This is also where he got his big contract. Like it he was made, kind of, you know, as much as he was ever made, he was made here when he was with the Bills. But the fans holding him in such regard, like, that's just got to be really special.
It is. And, you know, at the time, you know, social media wasn't as big at the time back in, you know, 2009, 10, 11, when he played for the Bills. It was coming around, but it wasn't what it is now. And so I'm not exactly sure how a lot of the fan base felt about him. I'm sure there were some who loved him and others that wanted to move on from him. But, you know, that year that we let Fitzpatrick go, we brought in EJ Manuel. I mean, I just felt like, one, you could have let EJ kind of ease into his career. Fitz would have been an incredible mentor, or maybe we keep the magic going a little bit and maybe he ends up having a really nice career in Buffalo. And, you know, it's easy to look back and say, you know, maybe that would have happened. But I know at the time, and look, when it's one of your best friends and he's your quarterback and I'm the center, I wish we could have kept him around a little bit longer and see how that all played out.
So, Eric, this game last night was pretty much all you could have wanted and maybe pretty close to what you expected. It was right there for me. I wanted to trust the Bills to not make mistakes. They've been that kind of team all year. And the Ravens, for all their excellence, especially considering their playoff past, have made those mistakes that's cost them games. That's what last night really boiled down to, I would say.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, Josh has played efficient ball all season long. This has been an opportunistic defense, and you just thought maybe at some point, you know, it's just luck with this defense. They're not actually ball hawks. They just get lucky and teams turn the ball over against them, and that's why the Bills lead the league in forced turnovers. Well, they force turnovers. You know, the one, Lamar Jackson kind of dropped it on the overthrow, on the interception. Matt Milano doesn't let Lamar Jackson step into his throw. He sails it, and Taylor Rapp makes him pay. You know, later in the game, Terrell Bernard, he punches that ball out of Andrew's hands. You know, Andrew, one-on-one situation a lot of times, especially a smaller defender than you, you're thinking, this guy's going to try and wrap me up. I might try and stiff arm him. not, I better get two hands on the ball because he's going to throw a haymaker across my body and punch the ball out and pick it up in the middle of the field. And so you also, I always say, like, turnovers have an element of luck to them. But if you're not flying around at all times, you're not going to get them. You're not going to pick up the fumbles if you don't have 11 guys flying to the football each time. You're not going to maybe get a tipped interception if you don't have guys that are pursuing from the backside of plays that maybe have no shot at making it, but they're always flying around. So they make those things happen defensively. We saw it again last night, and that was obviously the biggest difference in the game. And then offensively, you know, it's not surprising, but it's been interesting to me how the Bills have really leaned into this run game through 2 weeks of the postseason. And a lot of times you're attacking matchups. So you look at Denver's defense, they're number three in the NFL against the run, and the Bills run it right down their throat. And Josh had a nice game throwing the ball as well, but they ran it down their throat. And then you go up against Baltimore, and they have the number one rush defense in the league. They give up 80 yards a game, and they get 74, 75 yards rushing in the first half, and really stuck with it throughout the game. And what that does is, you know, it's, you're not really putting the ball in harm's way a lot. Josh had, I believe, 7 first half pass attempts, and he might be the best player on the planet, but when you can lean into a run game and you're going into the half with an 11 point lead, you love to suck the life out of the game. And, you know, I guess this is another offensive line appreciation comment by me, but the fact that they're able to do that against two elite defenses at stopping the run through the first 2 weeks of the playoffs has been really impressive.
How much, to your eye, credit does Baltimore have for the Bills not getting much going in the pass game? You're already talking about, like, you know, intentional game plan stuff here. You know, maybe it's no coincidence the Bills didn't turn it over at all because they were pretty careful in leaning on the run game. But we've had a couple of people already today, and people on social media are asking, like, are we back to being worried about our passing game? Are guys able to get open against a team that can really, you know, tight cover you? Because a lot of this, like, Allen in the pocket yesterday looked a lot like week four, I think, and even week five in Houston. And that could be a concern moving forward going into Kansas City next week. Like, did Baltimore, to your eyes, Eric, watching from the booth, just lock guys up yesterday?
Well, I know the volume wasn't there, and Josh wasn't taking many shots down the field. Now, I believe he attempted 4 passes over 10 yards in the game. 2 of them were in the first 3 plays of the game. And so for the remainder of the game, he had only 2 more. The one he missed, Kincaid. Kincaid was open, and he missed him, threw a low ball, and Kincaid wasn't – he got 2 hands on it, but was unable to come down on it. And I believe the other one was the comeback route to Amari Cooper. That was a misfire, and Amari didn't really get out of his break well. So to me, you know, if the Bills weren't playing with the lead, you know, for almost the entire game outside of when they tied it up, fell behind by 7, tied it up, and that they played with the lead the whole time, maybe the pass game comes alive and they work a bunch more concepts, but they didn't really have to lean into it, and they didn't really have to press to try and get the ball down the field because you're playing with the lead right the entire time. And so I say all of that, I'm not exactly sure. You know, teams that play against the Bills know Josh Allen's arm talent. Generally, you're going to keep your safeties high. You're trying to keep everything underneath. Josh did a great job of, you know, relying on Shakir to make a bunch of plays underneath, and he had a bunch of catches in a nice game yesterday. But I'm not exactly sure, to be completely honest.
Yep.
And you know, some of that is, you know, they got a pretty nice secondary over there. Good slot player in Humphrey, Kyle mm-hmm. Hamilton on the back end, but I did expect them. One of the things I did expect was Cooper and Coleman to get more involved against the outside corners, and it just didn't happen yesterday, besides Coleman drawing that pass interference that set up the touchdown before the half.
A combined 1 catch for 5 yards between Coleman and Cooper in the game on 2 targets. Looking at the props last week, like 1.5 Samuel, you know, Kincaid was a little higher, but Hollins, and they're all just like 1-1-1-1. The Bills win this game despite 16 completions from Allen, 6 to Shakir, 3 more to Cook. Eric Wood on the Wester Hotline. Before we get to Kansas City, which I know we will, what do you think the weather meant last night. So the Ravens, there's only so much you can do, and you would know better, to prepare for an adjustment. Maybe from your Bills career, it was more going into the heat in Miami or something. But like the Ravens, they had a frozen field. They practice indoors. They opened the doors to make it a little colder. Do you think that could or would have helped them? Would you find it to be meaningful that Baltimore didn't do more, perhaps, to prepare in this way for the weather?
I'm not going to discount that, especially when you consider that they had multiple drops in the game. They had two fumbles. You know, Lamar mishandled the shotgun snap right before he fumbled that one. You know, and, you know, I always say, like, the ball, when it comes off the sideline, a lot of times it's heated and it's in great condition. And as the drive goes on, it just gets colder, harder, and slicker. And so the turnovers that we saw generally weren't super early in drives, or the drops, they weren't super early in drives. And so I certainly think that could have made an impact. And I'm assuming it was just the special teams coach that had this thought, but the fact that he said last week that the field was heated, right, it's not, it's right, not a great look.
Right. Yeah, I thought all week as the you know, week went on, you're sort of, you know, digging in a little deeper than we do in an average regular season game week, Eric, that the weather could be a factor. Baltimore, I think curiously, really, part of the reason I thought that was so much of the Jackson and Henry dynamic, like him putting the ball in Henry's belly and pulling it out and that sort of stuff. I thought that kind of ball handling could be challenging for them if their hands are cold and the ball is slick, like you're saying. To my eyes, they did very little, if any, of that in the game. It was pretty straight up, and I wonder if they've talked at all about whether that was by design because of the conditions.
Yeah, it certainly could have been. And, you know, Lamar Jackson's from Miami, played his college ball at Louisville. It certainly gets cold here, but not that cold during football season. He's played in cold games in Baltimore before, but just obviously not the volume that this Bills team's played in cold, snowy conditions. And so, you know, we saw some miscues, and weather can definitely play a factor.
So now it's the Chiefs, and what is left to say about this matchup and how the teams match up with each other, their histories together? Do you go into this game thinking, I mean, I'm sure everybody's going to be optimistic, at least, if not confident. Do you go in thinking that the Bills are better than the Chiefs?
Oh, that's a great question. I think they're about even. I think you could find strengths and weaknesses, you know, across the board for both teams. I think Buffalo has played better this season, has been more impressive at times, but Kansas City obviously gets the one seed, and whether that's getting lucky, knowing how to win, having guys that are calm when you fall down late in games, and, you know, or you're playing with more detail, which allows you to block kicks and do, mm-hmm, you know, have a long return on the very first opening kickoff of the game against Houston that leads to 3 points. So your offense goes three and out to start the game, and you still get 3 points because you had the kick return. You know, they do a lot of the little things well. That happens when you have a lot of cohesion. They've kept the same group around. A lot of the coaching staff has been around. So they do a good job. And when you look at these teams, they've been the class of the AFC the last 5-6 years, but the Bills have not been able to get over the hump in the postseason. Now, we played them the last 10 times we played them. The record is 5-5. Both teams have scored 251 points. I mean, it's wild, but when you count the playoff games, we've lost to them each time. And so, you know, I don't want to make this a bigger deal, and no one in the organization likely hears my comments here on 4 o'clock on Mondays, but I know we have a good audience that tunes in because I hear about it pretty often. Mm-hmm. But I will say, you got to get this one. It just feels like this year's got to be your year. You know, you're healthy is, you know, Rapp maybe is out this week, but you're just so healthy. You know, we can make excuses about injuries these past few years, or lack of playoff experience compared to them, or whatever it may be. I just feel like this is a team that physically matches up with them. You're healthy on both sides of the ball, minus maybe Rapp. And this has got to be a situation where you go in there and exert some dominance that we've seen this team to be able to do at for a lot of this season.
The update on that, by the way, that has just come across in the last, well, while we've been talking here, this has been a weekly occurrence. Usually Sean McDermott holds a session with the media while we're talking to you, Eric. Taylor Rapp day-to-day with the hip. Benford is in concussion protocol, and Taron Johnson appears to be fine. He's just sore. So should be good to go, at least according to McDermott. Also, this caveat, I guess he was asked, if Rapp can't go, what does that mean for Micah Hyde? And McDermott said there's no chance that Hyde would take his spot. So
there's always
Micah's basically a cheap coach right now.
Right.
There's always a Micah Hyde question in these things.
There always is.
Somebody
always
wants to know.
Eric.
Micah's a cheap coach and vibes guy to keep around. And I would say that's extremely good news on Rapp because, you know, they declared him out pretty quick after he went back into the locker room. But day-to-day, I mean, you got to read through the lines with Sean McDermott's injury analysis. You know, it's either day-to-day, week-to-week, indefinite. Day-to-day is about as good as news that we could have hoped for there.
And hopefully for their sake and Benford's sake, he has the week Ray Davis had last week because Davis was in the concussion protocol after the Denver game and cleared it in time to suit up and score a touchdown in this game yesterday against Baltimore. So hopefully Benford has a similar or the exact same experience this week.
Just real quick, and the fact that he didn't leave the game, I would say, is a good sign.
Yeah. Real quick, on the familiarity with these two teams, Eric, like with one another, like can there be any secrets? Like are there new pages to be opened up in the playbook on either side? Wrinkles, like, or is it just, I know what you're going to do, you know what I'm going to do, and yes, I'm going to try to deceive you at times, but come on, there's no secrets between these teams, or do you think there's like new chapters to be written?
I think there's definitely wrinkles. You know, there's wrinkles off of things you've done throughout the season, different personnel packages. The fact that, you know, this is Joe Brady's first full season as an offensive coordinator, you know, there may be some stuff that this Chiefs team, you know, maybe hasn't seen. But, no, it's going to be lineup and who executes the best, who limits the mistakes, who can take care of the ball better, and when you get down in the red zone, can you score touchdowns? And it's a pretty simple formula, but it's 60 minutes of grinding it out. And playing in Kansas City is a challenge for an offense. It's very loud, but when you consider that Steve Spagnuolo, their defensive coordinator, loves to bring late pressure and move guys around, and then at the last second you no longer have time to communicate because you can't verbally switch the play at that time, it can lead to some dead plays, some improvising. So, you know, on plays that you might have a check with me, a check play at the line of scrimmage, you always hear Josh Allen, alert it, alert it. There might not be as many of those. It might just be a built-in hot on a play. It might be a run play where it's tagged with a slant on the backside like we saw Josh hit Coleman on yesterday for his one catch, because if they switch into the blitz late, you don't have time to communicate it, and you can't verbally communicate it. You might have to just hit a slant, so it's a little bit different operationally at times. But no, there's a lot of familiarity with these two franchises, that's for sure. And even personnel wise, you know, for the most part, it's a lot of the same names and faces.
Yeah, for sure. Alec Anderson, just 6 snaps in that first meeting. Spencer Brown missed the game against Kansas City back in November. Vandermark played the whole game, and Anderson was not, I think, just looking at the stats now to refresh my memory, a big part of the game plan there. Is this a stadium where you're way up, like in the sky, basically, in the booth?
Yes, it's awful. I mean, we could call it better off TV. We are literally 8 stories up in a closed-off glass area. So, you know, through our parabolic mics, we can hear the crowd out there, but you can't hear much through the glass. You can hear some when they get really loud, but it's not much. It's not a great spot.
Taylor Swift has a better seat. That's ultimately what happens here. She's got a better vantage point.
Yeah, and they sold off probably the old radio booths
for her.
To some now suite holders with probably some pretty good views.
Eric, what do you think of Washington in the other game?
Washington's impressive. Jaden Daniels has some serious composure to do what he's done as a rookie at quarterback. You know, Detroit's defense worried me heading into the postseason. I just felt like they were playing with fire with so many guys on IR. I mean, it's just unfortunate because they built a really nice roster this year, great coaching staff, and that's likely going to get plucked, probably OC and DC. It looks like Ben Johnson's going to Chicago. Just too many injuries, but Jaden Daniels has been extremely impressive through 2 weeks. And then, you know, Philly gets L.A. in the snow, and if that game is nice weather, who knows if that Rams passing game could be more effective. But Rams turned the ball over in that one, and Saquon Barkley put on a show, goes for over 200 on the ground, added 27 yards receiving. He's been extremely impressive this year. And so, I mean, when you look at the theme of the weekend, though, and I saw it earlier, the teams that won this weekend, this past week in the divisional round, had a combined zero turnovers, and the teams that lost had a combined 10 turnovers. And, you know, a lot of times it becomes – it's not necessarily the highlights. It's not necessarily these, you know, firework plays that win you games in the playoffs. It's taking care of the football, being able to run it, make the plays when they're there, score touchdowns in the red zone. It's like, that's all, obviously easier said than done at times. And I did not notice it at the time. I wish I would have. But that 3rd and 2 late in the game, Josh Allen, they run a read play. And Josh probably should have handed that one off, but I'm never going to get mad at him trying to make a play down there and keeping the ball in his hands. But he gets his back turned towards the defense, and it looks like he's going to shove it to Cook. It looks like it's going to be a shovel, which
sheer terror in my house when that happened. It was only a fraction of a second, thank God, but I was in pain.
I know. I'm like,
we didn't notice it
at the time because me and Chris went right into whether they should kick the field goal or go for it, and we just didn't notice it. We're on the tunnel side of the stadium at about the 40, you know, so they're as far as they can be from us as we're watching it live. So we didn't see it at the time, and I saw it today.
Right.
But I love how, like, everyone's saying today, like, this is Josh growing up. And then you think back to, you know, that Houston game early on in his career where he's just a wild man out there.
Right.
And some of the other things he's done throughout his career, I'll give him credit. That was a sign of some maturity there.
Right on, Eric. Well, thanks for your time today, and we will talk after the AFC Championship next week.
Okay, sounds good. You guys have a great week.
All right, you too. There's Eric Wood. His appearance is weekly here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
The Bills over the Ravens and another clash with Kansas City. 803-0550 for your calls. We're open here until Sal jumps on at 6. The Sabres are playing in Seattle as we speak. The game is 1-1 midway through the first period. Krebs with the Sabres goal. You can hear it at the Bet 1520. Football Monday continues after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.